Well, once again, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, or good whenever you are listening to this. This is Pastor David speaking to you, and thank you, any and all who are listening to this. We're continuing on in our midweek devotional time to speak of peace. And as we have continually mentioned throughout our series on peace, we don't achieve peace in our lives by just one key truth. Peace comes with a collection of truths and applying those truths in our lives. Think with me about an engine. An engine is not just made up of a crankshaft, or just a single piston, or a fuel line. No, it needs a lot of parts to make it go. And so also, when it comes to this matter of peace, we need a collection of truths that work together to produce the thrust of peace in our lives. Now today, I want to add another part to our engine of peace, and that is a harvest of righteousness. A harvest of righteousness. I'm taking that phrase right out of James 3:18. You might want to turn over to James chapter 3, as I'll be referencing that passage of Scripture a bunch, not only James 3:18, but also the verses that surround it. But in James 3:18, James says, "Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." James here is clearly using a farming or gardening metaphor. Many of you who are listening to this are thinking along these terms right now. My wife and I have recently bought some plants to use for a small garden. We will plant those in the garden, and we expect in a couple of months to start seeing the fruit of what we have planted or sown. Many of you are doing the same thing right now. James says that the fruit or harvest that we will receive is righteousness. The righteousness that James is referring to here is probably good works that flow out of our salvation in Jesus Christ and the wisdom that comes from God. If you go back up to verse 13, we read this, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom." Good works and the harvest or fruit of righteousness seem to be in parallel here. In the same way, meekness of wisdom and sown in peace also seem to be in parallel in verses 13 and 18. So, if you live in the meekness of wisdom and live by sowing peace in your life, you will reap, verse 13, good conduct. You will reap, verse 18, a harvest of righteousness. Now, this kind of harvest is contrasted to another kind by James. Notice verse number 16. "For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." So, when someone lives in envy and in seeking their own, seeking themselves, seeking things for themselves, the harvest gained by that person is, as the text says, confusion and every evil thing. Confusion literally means disorder. Every evil thing has to do with vile practices. That's the way the ESV translates it, and I think they really capture it well. So we have two harvests, one that results in righteousness and good conduct, the other results in disorder and vile practices. And when we think of this, we can think of this in, as James uses, that farming or gardening metaphor. So when you go to plant a garden, what do you have to do? Can you just go and stick seeds in the ground? Is that all? I want you to imagine that you went out to your garden plot and just randomly stuck seeds into the ground. You didn't prepare the soil, you didn't clean out any weeds, you didn't fertilize or bring in compost, you didn't think about how to space things properly, you just stuck them in. And then you didn't even bother to weed. What would be the result of that? Well, you might get some plants to grow, but you are likely not to get the desired fruit. If you get fruit at all from your plants, it's probably going to be weak and not very well developed. Your tomatoes will not grow as you wish, the peppers will be small and not taste very good. And that's if you get any at all. And pretty soon, your garden will be totally disordered. Have you ever seen gardens like that? I mean, somebody might have started out with good intentions, but they didn't do the work that was needed to sow it properly. And after a while, it's just a mess. And if anything is produced, it's a mess as well. Now, that is a person's life who lives, to use the words of James, by envy and self-seeking. We'll explore what those mean in just a moment, but this is the result of such a life. It is, to use James' words, disordered, and there are vile practices. Now, if you want a good harvest, it takes a lot of work. You have to choose a good spot. Depending on what you're trying to grow, will determine the spot you choose. And then you'll have to prepare the soil. You'll have to till it up. You have to get all those weeds out of it. Then you have to fertilize and compost. Then you need to plant and water. Then you have to weed the garden. You have to make sure critters don't get in and eat your garden. In the end, after all that work, and it is a lot of work, what you get is a good harvest. You get the fruits. James is saying that's the person who sows in peace. They get the good conduct. They get the fruit or the harvest of righteousness. Now, what is it that makes the difference between the harvest of righteousness and the harvest of disorder and vile practices? The difference is this: living in envy and self-seeking versus living in peace. Living in envy and self-seeking versus living in peace. That's what makes the difference. Now, let's just for a few moments think about the contrast between these two ways of living. First, living in envy and self-seeking. James says in verse 14, "But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth." Probably the idea of boasting there is that we do not boast that our actions are wise. And lying against the truth is when we say, we're doing what is right, when we are in fact are not. Bitter envy refers to jealous living. Its kissing cousin that James links to it is living by self-seeking. That word for self-seeking carries the idea of hostility, strife, or rivalry. It was actually used by Greek speakers in James's day to speak of political officials who would seek power. And that's a gripping image, isn't it? I mean, I can think of politicians who will say and do lots of things to gain power or to keep it. Political rivalries are alive and well. Well, we can live that way, not just in politics, but in our lives. You don't have to be a politician to be bitterly envious and self-seeking. You can see this kind of jealousy and self-seeking in the workplace. I think of people who, to say it crudely, kiss up to the boss, but behind their backs destroy them. I remember working with a guy who was trying to climb the corporate ladder of the company that I worked for at the time. His goal was to leapfrog everybody else. Some of the things he did were totally legitimate, like he worked harder than everyone else, and thus he got promotions. You work hard, you'll get promotions, generally speaking, too. And he did work hard. But other things he did were just dirty. He slandered people who were ahead of him in order to make himself look good. He would say those slanderous things with a smile and try to make it look like he was being nice about it. But there were vicious daggers that came out of his mouth. I can think of another boss I had. She was nasty, and I don't know how to say that in any other way. She would belittle anybody to try and squeeze what she could out of them. And she had one goal, and that was to gain power and authority and to make money, more money, along the way. She was living in jealousy and self-service. And by the way, the fruit of those kinds of things is disorder. People didn't trust her, nor did people trust that other boss that I had that I mentioned. You can see this kind of jealousy and self-seeking and the disorder and the vile practices it produces in families. This is a sad state of affairs that I have unfortunately seen many times over, but there are families where there are fights and skirmishes over the possessions and money of their deceased loved ones. It divides families. I know of brothers and sisters that have not talked to each other for years because of fights over the will of their parents. They lived in bitter envy and self-seeking practices, and the results were, to use James's words, confusion, disorder, and vile practices. You can see this in your neighborhood between, you can see this between husbands and wives. You can see it on sports teams. You can see it in community organizations. And you can even see it in churches and among Christian leaders. Paul uses these types of terms in Philippians 1 to describe people who, quote, preach out of envy. And the results, the fruit, the harvest is always the same: disorder and vile practices. Now, that really should not surprise us, because do you know where envy and self-seeking attitudes come from? Well, you don't have to wonder. James tells us in verse 15, listen to it, this wisdom, this type of self-seeking living, that type of wisdom, James says, does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. It's interesting how James describes envy and this self-seeking way of living. He calls it, quote, wisdom. Now, clearly, if you read the broader book of James, he is not saying that that is true wisdom. I think that he's using that term somewhat facetiously. He's pointing to the fact that it appears to be wise. I mean, shouldn't we, after all, look out for ourselves first and foremost? Shouldn't we take care of ourselves? Shouldn't we always make sure that we are advancing? From the view of the world, that most certainly is the case. This wisdom seems to hold true. We see this more now. We see this even more now than ever. We have today the theory of evolution preached at us all the time, which at its core says that the fittest survive. So if that's the case, we ought to do whatever we can to survive and thrive. In fact, even if you serve someone else, we are told by modern evolutionary people, that that really is just a way for us to ensure that we and our species survive. It's self-seeking and self-serving. The problem is, if you have that sort of view, basically you will do whatever you can to survive and thrive. Therefore, you will seek yourself. That's what basically every other species does in the world, so why shouldn't we? Or how about this that is preached to us constantly? Follow your heart. Achieve your dreams. That means often that we step over other people or on other people who are in our way. That idea encourages a self-seeking as a pattern of living. And the fruits of this stuff are disorder and vile practices. And that's exactly what we see around us, isn't it, brothers and sisters? What we see is, to use James' words, an earthy, sensual, and demonic way of living. And you can see that in all sorts of practices around us. James, however, offers us another way of living. He offers real wisdom. He offers living in peace. James contrasts that wisdom that is earthy to the wisdom that is from above, and he shows us what that wisdom, that heavenly wisdom, looks like in verse number 17. And he uses a series of terms to describe it. First, it is pure. When you look at somebody whose life is pure, they are a person who does not have the ugliness or stench of sin hanging over them. In James's case, we could say it like this: they don't have selfish ambition. They don't have selfish desires shining through them. Their motivations are pure. In verse 17, James goes on to say that the wisdom from above is not just pure. Second, it's also peaceable or peace-loving. Proverbs chapter 3 personifies wisdom, and in it, Solomon says that for wisdom, quote, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Can I just ask, is that what describes you when you interact with people around you, whether it's in your home, neighborhood, workplace, or school? Third, this living in peace is gentle. Gentleness is a term in the New Testament that is often associated with our words. It has the idea of forbearance or kindness in speech. even when pointing out flaws, our words are to be caring. Fourth, verse 17 describes this way of peace, this living in peace, as a willingness to yield. This has the idea of being open to reason. It allows in our conversations and actions for letting somebody else have the floor. It has a teachable spirit that can be corrected when wrong. And let me just say, friends, that is horribly lacking in our culture, in our world today. Very few people are willing to be taught. They're not willing to hear a different point of view and to consider it carefully and with love. This wisdom that is from above is fifth, full of mercy in verse 17. The actions of a person who is not self-seeking and full of jealousy is to give. That's the heart of the idea of mercy, and to give a lot. This has less to do with words and more to do with our actions. The merciful person gives to others. It seeks the benefits of another without the expectation of receiving anything in return. Sixth, it is without partiality. In other words, it does not just give this peaceful living to one group or clan or tribe or party. It doesn't have a party spirit that only spreads its gentleness, purity, mercy, and good fruit to those whom they happen to agree with. By the way, this is also horribly lacking in our world. This fruit is spread to those whom they like, and even those whom they dislike, and even those who are their enemies. Seventh, James closes off his description of the wisdom that is above, that is peaceful, by talking about wisdom that's not hypocritical. In other words, it's neither unstable, nor is this person faking it. They're not just playing the part to gain a hearing. We've seen people, I'm sure I have, I know you probably have as well, that seem to be peaceable only to try to get something from someone. They instead, as this word is often translated, have a sincere love. Those are the marks of someone who lives their life in peace. And the harvest of that kind of living is not disorder, it's not confusion, it's not evil works. The harvest is one of righteousness. So, let me ask you this question. What are you sowing today? Are you sowing in peace, or are you sowing in envy and self-service? You should ask yourself that in relationship to the people that you interact with. How about in relationship to your spouse? Sowing in peace or sowing in jealousy? Ask that in relationship to your family, to your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers. You should even ask that in relationship to your Facebook posts. See, if James 3:17 describes your words and actions, that your life, your harvest, will produce one thing. But if James 3:15 describes your life, bitter envy and self-seeking, your harvest will be very different. You can also ask yourself this question: is your life full of disorder? If it is, it might be that you have sown improper things to get you there. If that's the case, repent and start sowing in peace, which leads to a rich harvest of righteousness. Once again, thanks for listening in. I hope that this lesson in peace has been a blessing to you. I hope to connect with you all sooner than later. The Lord be with you all.